tired, I'm worn. My heart is heavy from the work it takes to keep on breathing. I've made mistakes. I've let my hope fail. My soul feels crushed by the weight of this world.
Some flat earthers out there who still consider the existence of a supreme deity to be either necessary or self-evident or both. And with that, as previously announced, I will be turning the podium over to Mr. Wheaton, who will be presenting his case in favor of a supreme celestial dictator, otherwise known as God.
Explode and bring the dead to life. fall. Come shake the ground with the sound of revival. Let heaven roar, the fire fall. Come shake the ground with the sound of revival.
Of me, the person that I've been lately ain't who I wanna be, but you stay here right beside me and watch as the storm blows through, and I need you. 'Cause God gave me you for the ups and downs. God gave me you for the days.
I lost my way. There are no words here left to say. who said that evil is atheism's most potent weapon against the Christian faith. And it is. After all, the very existence of evil begs the question, if God is all good, and God is all powerful, why does he allow evil to exist? The answer at its core is remarkably simple. Free will. God allows evil to exist because of free will. From the Christian standpoint, God tolerates evil in this world on a temporary basis, so that one day those who choose to love him freely will dwell with him in heaven, free from the influence of evil, but with their free will intact. In other words, God's intention concerning evil is to one day destroy it.
Well, how convenient. One day, I will get rid of all the evil in the world. But until then, you just have to deal with all the wars and holocausts, tsunamis, poverty, starvation, and AIDS. Have a nice life. Next, you'll be lecturing us on moral absolutes.
But why not? Professor Radisson, who's clearly an atheist, doesn't believe in moral absolutes. But his course syllabus says he plans to give us an exam during finals weeks. Now, I'm betting that if I manage to get an A in the exam by cheating, he'll suddenly start sounding like a Christian, insisting it's wrong to cheat, that I should have known that. And yet, what basis does he have? If my actions are calculated to help me succeed, then why shouldn't I perform them? For Christians, the fixed point of morality, what constitutes right and wrong, is a straight line that leads directly back to God.
Oh, so you're saying that we need a God to be moral, that a moral atheist is an impossibility.
No, but with no God, there's no real reason to be moral. I mean, there's not even a standard of what moral behavior is. For Christians, lying, cheating, stealing, in my example, stealing a grade I didn't earn are forbidden. It's a form of theft. But if God does not exist, as Dostoevsky famously pointed out, if God does not exist, then everything is permissible.
And not only permissible,
but pointless. If Professor Radisson is right, then all of this, all of our struggle, our debate, whatever we decide here is meaningless. I mean, our lives and ultimately our deaths are no more consequence than that of a goldfish.
Well, this is ridiculous. So after all your talk, you're saying that it all comes down to a choice. Believe or don't believe.
That's right. That's all there is. That's all there's ever been. The only difference between your position and my position is that you take away their choice. You demand that they choose the box marked, I don't believe.
Yes, because I want to free them. Because religion is like a... It's like a mind virus that parents have passed on down to their children. And Christianity is the worst virus of all. It slowly creeps into our lives when we're weak or sick or helpless.
So religion is like a disease?
Yes. Yes, it infects everything. It's the enemy of reason.
Reason? Professor, you left reason a long time ago. What you're teaching here isn't philosophy. It's not even atheism anymore. What you're teaching is anti-theism. It's not enough that you don't believe. You need all of us to not believe with you.
Why don't you admit the truth? You just want to ensnare them in your primitive superstition.
What I want is for them to make their own choice. That's what God wants.
You have no idea how much I'm going to enjoy failing you.
Yeah, but who are you really looking to fail, Professor? Me? Or God? Do you hate God?
It's not even a question.
Okay. Why do you hate God?
This is ridiculous.
Why do you hate God? Answer the question. You've seen the science and the arguments. Science supports his existence. You know the truth. So why do you hate him? Why? It's a very simple question, Professor. Why do you hate God?
Because he took everything away from me. Yes, I hate God. All I have for him is hate.
How can you hate someone if they don't exist?
You've proven nothing.
Maybe not. They get to choose. Is God dead?
He's not dead.
God's 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 not dead.
Hide. My faith is dead. I need a
strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
Everybody, you're listening to The Hope Show. Beverly's out and about on some family business today, and so with that said, I'm kind of standing in for her. You know, why is it that this world despises God so much? It's kind of, you know, to me it's unimaginable. But, you know, when you talk about the armor of God, going all the way from the helmet of salvation to the breastplate of righteousness and the belt of truth and the sword of the Spirit, all the way down to the feet protected by the gospel and into the shield of faith. There's a reason why we talk about the armor of God, because in Ephesians 6:12-13 in King James Version, it says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand the evil in the evil day, and having done all to stand." You know, there's a lot said right there. In 2 Chronicles 7:14, King James Version 14 says, "If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land." See, my understanding of God is God loves the world. God loves each and every one of you. Each and every one of you is so incredibly special, more special than you can possibly imagine. You know, in Genesis it said that God created you in his image. You know, that makes you very, very unique. There's only one of you. There's only ever going to be one of you. And God knows every single head on your hair, every single hair on your head. Sorry about that. You know, I'm not as eloquent in my speaking as Beverly is when she does her show, so I apologize for that. But nonetheless, the message is important. You know, the God's Not Dead thing there, you know, that argument that they did in that movie, it was pretty insightful, pretty impressive, and it was awesome to see all the kids stand up and you know, speak their own belief. You know, why does this world fear our belief in God? Why does this world want to try to push us away? I mean, we live in some dark times now. Seems as if they don't want us to believe. They don't want us to have hope. You know, I look at this world out here and I'm amazed by the creation. I'm amazed by everything out here, the miracles of life, you know, a newborn baby and a family and all the kind of good things about life that there is. And you can't deny that those are, excuse me, those are true miracles. Those are amazing miracles. You know, though this path might be a bit rough, and sometimes we go through what they call the Valley of Blessings, and those aren't, when it's kind of a misnomer, when you think about the Valley of Blessings, those are the worst of times. But those are the times that define us through our life to make us to where we're stronger and where we have the full armor of God. Now we understand a lot of things, and we can guide our youth to come into a better world instead of having to go down those same roads. We can tell them about, hey, you know, I went down this road before and it didn't go so well. So maybe you might not want to, take that path. You know, when you talked in there about how, you know, that God gave us free will, and everybody's argument, you know, against God was that why would God allow babies to starve in this world, or why would it allow wars and sickness and all that? And the truth is, you know, technically, yeah, I guess he is allowing it, but not for you know, reasons of being a terrible creator or anything, but for us to learn, to give us the choice. It's all about our choice of what we want to do with our life. Well, you know for a fact that you yourself, in your heart, you have both possibilities. You can either be really good or you can be really mean, depending on, you know, the circumstances out there. But it's ultimately it's a choice whether you decide to be really good or really mean. And I think that our God wants us to come back because we love Him, not because we're scared into it, you know, not because we have to, you know, be fearful. If we don't do what we're told, we're gonna get this or that. You know, I don't look at God like that. I think God is love. And so, you know, with that said, the people that think that, you know, blame God for every atrocity that man has done. You know, I put a post out there on my podcast page. I scroll down there and read it directly. It's got a picture on one side, and it's got a real beautiful picture of the universe and the planets and all that kind of stuff. And it said, God created the heavens and the earth, and that's Genesis 1:1. It's in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and it was all beautiful. Imagine how it looked on the very first day of creation. It must have been so incredibly amazing. And then if you look to the right of that, you see what man has done to this beautiful creation. You know, man did this, made out of sin. Wasn't God told us to go out there and do all that? You know, God put some Ten Commandments down, you know, basically good rules to live by. You know, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery, and all that kind of stuff. You know, I know you've heard the Ten Commandments. Most of you got them naturally imprinted in your heart because you know the difference between right and wrong. And we as humans out here, and I say we as humans as I'm painting with a wide brush, I'm talking about our family, humanity. We have kind of dropped the ball over the years of all the different things that we've had, wars, and we've had, you know, all kinds of atrocities occur, you know. And today, in this very day and age, we still got babies in this world that can't get food or medicines. And it wasn't God that did that. It wasn't God that chose to do that. It was humanity, the greed of humanity, where we decide, you know, somebody wants to be rich, and so they're going to walk all over anybody and everybody to get whatever it was and maintain their power structure. And unfortunately, that's the world that we live in. And, you know, in that picture, you see there's a lot of trash laying around at the bottom. There's a riot and fires going on and wars and, you know, all kinds of things that God wouldn't approve of. You know, eventually I'm positive that there will come a day of reckoning where evil will be shuffled onto where evil needs to be. But in the meantime, it's up to us. If we are created in God's image, and that means we got responsibilities to take care of one another, to be good caretakers, to be our brother's keeper, to help one another out. You know, a lot of folks don't want to hear this kind of stuff in these days. We've been told all kinds of things, and the word religion in itself has become like a dirty word, you know, a taboo. You can't talk about it because it angers and frustrates people. Just speaking about Jesus, it gets all kinds of riled up, you know. And I kind of have to ask myself, why would somebody hate a name so badly, you know, that you know, they would try to discourage me to not believe in Jesus, you know? Why? What's the problem? What is it harming you for me to believe the way that I believe? If I want to believe in a creator or a higher power, as long as I'm not harming you or forcing it upon you or committing any atrocities or, you know, going against natural law or anything, you know, why even be upset about that? But we've been turned against the churches. We've been turned against the family. We've been turned against each other. We've been turned against all things that are good in today's world. You know, in the book of Revelations, it talks about in the last days there will be wars and rumors of wars and plagues and famines and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places, all these things. You know, Jesus told his disciple, all these things must come to pass, lest these days be shortened, and all these things must come to pass, you know. And so I'm not looking forward to seeing, you know, a world like that. I would like to see that we as humanity, you know, God's creation, actually come together and make this world a better place. I honestly believe that we can. You know, it's not a popular view these days. Everybody thinks that doom and gloom is the way it is, and doom and gloom is all we got. You know, if you go back and you look through history from the medieval times and all the things, and there's good reason why a lot of people are angry with the churches of the old days. And, you know, not the churches these days aren't doing the same thing, but still some of the churches these days have some work to do in order to get, you know, in right with God where they should have been all along. Like I said, it's not a popular thing to talk about, but, you know, I'm not going to apologize for my belief in God. I believe that this creation is so amazing. I believe that it was gifted to us, and if we would have taken care of it from day one, if we'd have just stayed in the light of God, we'd have been just fine. But now that we've gone so far away, all hope is not lost. We still have an opportunity for redemption. You know, all the way up until the last dying breath, we still have an opportunity for redemption. You know, in my faith, Jesus is that way. You know, and for all those folks out there who have different beliefs, I'm not trying to discourage you from walking your own personal spiritual journey. You know, it's between you and God. It's between you and our Creator that to decide where your path is going to go. And that's a choice that you have to make. But for all those who would discourage you from believing in faith and understanding the power of prayer and all that, you know, the things that we are capable of doing, that God told us, Jesus said, if we had the faith of a mustard seed, we could move mountains. He said that. Jesus said that. And once again, God said that, I'm going to just read it right straight from the deal there, you know. It says that it's in 2 Chronicles. It's one of my favorite verses in the book because it's a hopeful message. It says, 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, in the King James Version says, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. That's a hopeful verse right there. Means there's still hope. Even in this world, the messed up as it is, the more people that, you know, come into the light and realize the true meaning of life, you know, to live, to love, and to take care of one another. that's the message that I believe in. You know, I know there are those out there that preach doom and gloom and woe is me, the world's terrible. We've been through trials and tribulations. Each and every one of us have been through trials and tribulations. The path that we took to get here may have discouraged us from even trying to seek the face of God. You know, but the further we get away from our Creator, that source where we were from, the harder that our life seemed to get. I'm sure you've noticed that. You know, the party scene might sound amazing. You go out there, have fun, have some drinks, and just have a good old time, you know, and the next day you feel terrible. You don't feel like you should. It's just not right. It's just not natural. And you kind of feel a little sunken in your spirit that, you know, I got all crazy last night. I probably made a fool out of myself, you know. I had fun, but, you know, hey, just shake it off and wait till the next party, I guess. But the thing about it is, when we're standing in the Spirit of God, we're not the same people that we are when we just let the world take over our souls. We're good people. We're people that want to take the shirt off our back to give to the needy. We're people that want to rush in there and help people out and feed the hungry and shelter the homeless and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, a lot of folks say that by nature we're not good people. We're dark, we're evil people, and I don't believe that. You know, I believe that we're capable of either or. We have to choose which path that we want to go on. You can be rotten from the day you're born if you choose. But once you get to the point where you start realizing the most important things in this world, like family, your children, your grandchildren, love and life, all those wars seem ridiculous now. All the hatred and all the argument seems pointless. You know, if there is no God and none of this matters, I guess it's a free-for-all and you do what you want to do and that's that. And when you die, you die. You're just gone. It's in the dust. But I don't believe that way. I believe that we'll be held accountable for the choices that we made in our life. And I kind of want, for one, not just because I want God to not frown on me. I want my children to look back and say, my grandpa or my dad was a really good guy. He took care of people and had a lot of love in his heart and he was always trying to be kind to folks. Now, I'm not by any means perfect, folks. None of us are, because the Bible says that for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. I mean, think about the glory of God. Think about the ultimate love, the sacrifice, everything that is God. All of creation, all of this world, this is a beautiful world that we've been gifted. It was handed to us to be the caretakers of. We've got everything. Everything was provided for us. All we had to do is figure out what to do with this world. And we went down the wrong path. We had wars, many, many, many wars throughout the entire history of man. Some wars were by evil people that wanted to try to harm the good people, and so on down the line. We've been on a battle. For our entire history of humanity, we've been in a battle. It's time that we got to bring that battle to a close and bring peace and love to this world. I know it's possible. I believe it's possible because Jesus said so, and God said that if his people would turn from their wicked ways. I got to read it again because it's that important. It says, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. That's amazing, folks. That is simply amazing. You know, I don't subscribe to the notion that there, everybody in this world is bad and that we're all doomed. Even when I would read the book of Revelations, I know the prophecies, I know what it says, you know, but I also know what God said. And all the way up until the last day, imagine what would happen if this whole entire world finally saw the light and they decided, we're all going to come together, we're going to help each other, we're going to put down our weapons of war, we're going to put down our hatred and all this discontent, regardless of all the evil people in this world, regardless of all those folks that decide that they want to feed the darkness and enslave humanity. We the good people who outnumber the bad people by the millions, we stand up and we use our faith and our love to heal this world. We can do it. We don't need those folks. And eventually when their life has changed to the extent where they're no longer the kings and queens and all the wealthy of the world, because we're not feeding them. We're the ones that feed that system. We the good people. Because they have armies, we're afraid. Because they have police officers, we're afraid. Because they have thugs in the street, we're afraid. Now, if you have the full armor of God on, God said, thou shalt not fear. He told you, don't fear. Don't be afraid. Because if God's with you, who can stand against you? Nobody can stand against you if God is with you. God had the power to create this entire world and the universe and all that we know. You think that God is weaker than any millions of men on this world, all the men combined in this world? It's not possible. It's not even remotely possible. But I want to just give you a good message today. And I hope I could do Beverly's show justice. You know, it's a hope show. She talks about hope, and that God's Not Dead movie. If you haven't seen it, it's really worth taking the time and seeing. You know, it kind of gives you some thought about things, because we are living in troubled times. We're living through times that replicate what is actually written in the Book of Revelation. So there's some hard times coming down the road. And the only way that we're ever going to make it through this to the other side without succumbing to the darkness is to keep our faith, to keep our prayers strong, to keep each other strong, to be there whenever somebody needs you. When you see somebody feeling down, you bring them back up with the power of your spoken word. In Genesis, God said, created man in his image. That means a lot. You really think about those words. You take those words literally. He said, if my people, which are called by my name. Think about that. Think about those words. Words are powerful. Your words have the power to literally uplift the spirit to the highest reaches of heaven or lower them down to the lowest, darkest abyss. You know, folks, I understand there's a lot of people out there that don't believe the way that I do, and I still love them nonetheless. I still love them. Jesus talked about loving thine enemy. He actually talked about turning the other cheek. I'm maybe not so good at turning the other cheek because I'm just human and I get angry. But when it all comes down to it, what we're really made of, what we really truly are, is a miracle. And God didn't create any trash, only treasure. So that means you listening right now, you are a treasure. You're a one-of-a-kind treasure. There might be a twin brother or sister that looks really just like you, but in reality, you have your own spirit. You have your own uniqueness. You have your own individuality. Imagine somebody who could create that many. Imagine an entity who could create that many different, beautiful miracles. Look at the numbers of the people that is on this world that we live in. Some folks want to tell you this world is overpopulated. It ain't nowhere near overpopulated. It's not even remotely possible the way that this world is created. But regardless, that's what they tell you. They tell you we're all going to starve to death. They tell you we're all going to die of thirst. They tell you we're all going to die of sickness. Everything that they can tell you to take away your spirit, to take away your hope and your faith, and send you as far away from God, to get you angry, to be angry, that angry person. If God was so loving, why would he allow my son to suffer? Humanity allowed your son to suffer. It's sad, but it's true. If you think about the medical industry, if you think about all the different companies and corporations and the power structure of the world that we live in, We've been gifted all the medicines necessary. We've been gifted all the power, the words, our actions. We could have, for all these years, we could have been moving towards a better world, but instead we allowed ourselves to give ourselves over to servitude to the dark side. We go work for them. We support their businesses. We support their power structure. We comply. We go to their wars for them. And do they love us like God? Do they respect us? Do they treat us? No, they don't need us. They don't want us. They don't care for us. We're just nothing more than a walking dollar sign to these individuals that want to be the kings and queens of this world. The world, there's a song that says that the world is full of kings and queens that blind your eyes and steal your dreams. And it's a battle between heaven and hell. The battle between the darkness and the evil is raging on right now. You know, just like it said right down there, we wrestle not against, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand. If God is with you, no one can stand against you. There's no army powerful enough to stand against the Almighty God. So folks, I urge you that, you know, at the very least, seek out these words. Seek the face of our true Creator. And I pray that you find peace, and I pray that you find love, and that your family can be held together by that love. Love is the glue that binds us all together. Love is an amazing miracle. Love is God. And I honestly believe that with everything that I am. You know, I'm a mad science guy. I love making things and knowing how things work. But in my heart and in my spirit, I know where my true origin is. I know what I am. I know who I am. And I know why I'm here. So with that said, folks, you've been listening to The Hope Show. I hope that I've done justice to Beverly's show, because she always does a lot of pre-planning, and she really works hard for you to share a good message with you. Now, there's a lot of folks out there that... they tune out when they don't want to hear about God. They tune out when they hear anything that they perceive to be religion. And as a Christian, I don't consider myself religious. You know, I don't like that terminology. I ain't no denomination of any church. Because Jesus said that anywhere that two or more gather in my name, there shall I be also. So my church is where I stand. And if you call a building a house of God, then you need to treat it as such. You need to not do Caesar's business in the house of God. You need to do God's work in the house of God. And God said that whatever you do unto the least of thee, you do unto me. Because he created all of us. You know, that's where I stand. That's where I believe. Anyway, I wish you well on your spiritual journey. My fellow brothers and sisters, I believe that together, regardless of what we believe, that we can come together and we can do amazing things. And that's what I pray for every day, that we come together, because I don't want to see us go down the road to destruction. Those things that are talked about in Revelations, the dark path and the evil rulers, we don't have to succumb to that. If God made us in his image, God didn't put us down here to fail. And like I said, God didn't create any trash, only treasure. That makes you very special in your Creator's eyes. Peace and love, everybody. Take care. Thank you.
My soul will rest in